Today on Next Level E-Commerce.
The difference between an amateur and a professional is in their habits. An amateur has amateur habits and a professional has professional habits. About 50% of our daily reported activities happen as a result of being a habit. So 50% of everything you do, at least, you don't even think about doing. You just do it.
Yeah.
It's because it's a habit.
You're listening to Next Level E-Commerce. Each week, we feature inspiring stories from entrepreneurs who have taken their business to the next level. They share successes and failures and what kept them going when they felt like giving up. And here's your host, Isaac Smith.
Today, we're talking about habits, and we're joined once again by my good friend and e-commerce marketing extraordinaire, John Warren. You may remember him from, well, maybe you know him, and he's also been on the show a couple of times before. And to set the stage for this conversation, lately I've been thinking about a concept in the book, The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. Have you read this book? For several years, it was really talked about a lot, but I haven't heard it mentioned much lately. But anyway, the idea is that small actions you choose or choose not to take compound over time. So whether you're making good choices or avoiding choices, and avoiding choices is the same as making bad choices, right? You're either growing or you're declining in that area of your life. This is true with health, relationships, business, really any area. And there's that saying that we've all heard, and I agree with, that says you're either growing or you're dying. But recently, I've been thinking about this, and I've gained a new understanding of this. Tell me what you think of this. I think most people, or at least I did, think of that saying as talking about the outcome. So for example, either your revenue is growing or it's dying. Either your muscles are growing or they're dying. You know, stuff like that. That's really the outcome. But now I'm thinking of that more in the context of actions. Either you're taking meaningful action in an area of life or you're not. And if you're taking meaningful action, you can't help but to grow. That's just the byproduct of taking these actions over time. So it's a slight shift of focus from the outcome to the action, at least for me anyway. I would really like to know what you think of this, by the way. So please reach out to me and we can chat. Send me a message, whatever is easy for you, whether it's Facebook or email. You can email me. You can find that on the website. So that, of course, this discussion of taking meaningful action repeatedly sounds like a habit, right? That, of course, brings us to the topic of habits. And this is one area that John's been working on in his own life. And he has some helpful experience to share. And we're going to get deep into how do you start thinking about building habits and how do you actually create them. If you don't know, John is the creator of the marketing course and coaching program, Dropship Breakthrough. He's been an e-commerce business owner for a long time now. And he and I actually got started around the same time. And he's done some really interesting things with his business. So if you want to hear more about him and his story, you can check back to the previous episode. I think he was on episode 4 where he told his story. And that actually is the episode where we went through the story of why he's the first one to suggest to me that I sell my business a couple of years ago. So you can check that out if you're interested. But this conversation that you're about to hear was recorded live at our event that we called This Is Your Year. That was back in January. And that was an event to help business owners set a plan for the best year of their lives this year. Of course, habits would be a good thing to talk about for an event like that. So that's why we had this discussion. And we're going to get to that discussion in just a minute. But first, Jason and I have a quick update on our business for you. And actually, this week it has something to do with John's course, something I'm super excited about. Oh, I can't wait to tell you about it. But before that, I did want to mention one more thing. You've probably noticed this episode sounds a bit different than most, right? So just to let you know, I'm going to be experimenting a bit with the format of the show over the next few weeks. And if you really do want to know, if you want to know what's happening behind the scenes, I don't mind letting you into the inner circle a bit. The truth is, I'm trying to reduce the amount of time it takes me to edit and produce this podcast each week. And because I keep track of my time, well, I do, and I suggest you do too, keep track of every minute that you work, I can actually see what I've spent on it. And here's some quick stats. Since the beginning of this year, I've averaged about 3.5 hours per week producing this podcast for you. And of course, that's not always, it's not even every week. Some weeks I'm quicker at getting episodes out, and sometimes I'm not. And that's just the editing, the writing, the recording of intros, etc. If you include the time to record the interviews, that's about five and a half hours per week. Actually, I have been for several months recording all of my interviews on one day, one crazy day a month. But anyway, so yeah, if you include all of that time, that's about 15% of my total working time. I'd like to get that down. So you might say, well, hey, Isaac, why not just outsource it? Aren't you an outsourcing guy? Well, yeah, but the truth is, to get somebody to be able to edit the way I've been editing, it's something that I take pride in. Like, you will notice going back and listening to all these shows, they sound very different than most podcasts. And that's been very intentional because I love producing high quality content. But it's taking too much of my time. I can't get away from that fact. And the truth is, to be able to get somebody to do what I do would be really expensive because it's kind of a high skill requirement. And, of course, this is not really a revenue-producing thing, this podcast. Not yet, anyway. Someday, maybe it will be. And I'm just not ready to spend that money on it. So, just thought you might want a peek back into it. But if you want to know a little more, I'll tell you a little more. It's kind of funny. I used to like doing the editing. As you can tell, I'm good at it, and I'm proud of what I've done. But honestly, I am reaching burnout on that aspect of the podcast. It's now 87 episodes in. So without boring you with all the little details, I'm going to be experimenting. And so this is going to sound different for the next few weeks until I find a format that works. And the goal is to have just as valuable as a podcast without taking up so much of my time. It's going to sound different, but I hope you enjoy it just as much. And by the way, please don't worry about me. I'm not getting burned out by the podcast, just the editing of it. And I plan on keeping great content coming to you every week for many years. Now, let's get into that update with Jason. And welcome back to the Tiki Hut with Jason and Isaac. Welcome back to the show, Jason. How you doing?
Hey, I'm outdoors. You're in the hut.
Yeah. So if you're listening, this is our running joke. Every week we come to you before the interview, and Jason is always somewhere new or we're in some new situation. But Jason's Zoom background is always the beach, and today he was supposed to be at the beach.
Yeah. Yep. But my beach is, or the one that I'd be going to, is a lot colder than the one I've got on my background here. So,
yeah. So for those of you who don't know, we live in Oregon, which, if you don't know, we do have very nice beaches, but it's very, very cold.
Somewhere when I looked this morning, I think it was like 51 Fahrenheit in the water where I was going to go. So yeah, not the warmest water in the world to be playing in.
Yeah. Well, you're a brave man even to be going out there in the summer, because that's something I don't even do. Well, hey guys, we've got something really, a really cool announcement to make. So John is going to be our guest on the show today, of course, John Warren, and he'll be talking about habits. But what you may or may not know is that we have put together some content for his course/coaching program. So John's program is called Dropship Breakthrough. And it's a course with group coaching and other resources that will either help you build a business, a dropshipping business from scratch, high-ticket dropshipping. It also has high-level advanced marketing content to help you grow an established business that you have. So he has this program, and I've been kind of quietly working away at adding some content to his program. And so that's what we want to talk about today. I am really excited. What he's asked me to do is provide some material for business owners on how to know your numbers. And so I've put together a couple of modules, one for the beginners, those who are just starting out, and also one for people who have established businesses. And this is really cool to me because I don't know if you know, but Jason and I at Summit E-Commerce, you know, we run a bookkeeping business, but our focus is so much higher than just the technical bookkeeping. You can go out and get anybody to click some mouse buttons and in an accounting platform like Xero. But what does this actually mean to you? And how can you use this to grow your business? This is really what excites us and drives us. And so that's what I wanted to bring to the content. So we're talking in this content, not just how to know your numbers or what you can do with them, but then how do you apply that and how do you reach real scale? So Jason, do you want to give us some quick thoughts on like why is this important and why do people miss this first of all? Why is it that people get focused on just having their reports and putting them aside, not really thinking what they can do with this information? You've seen this for many, many years.
You're right. It's a couple of factors are into it. One is a lack of financial literacy in many cases. People, business owners, entrepreneurs don't understand how to navigate it and get information or derive useful information from it to make decisions. Part of it is the reports themselves. They're not usually tailored in a fashion that's useful. They're tailored more for compliance, taxes, things like that. Your bank wants to see it. And so I think there's several factors, and those are the two biggest ones that I see.
Yeah. And so one of the things that we've been working on lately is combining your numbers with your hiring and your planning to achieve real growth. Do you want to share briefly how we do this, just sort of like at a very high level?
Yeah, everything in an enterprise is integrated. You know, what you make decisions financial will affect your operations and vice versa. Everything pushes and pulls inside of an organization enterprise. And so having them support each other and with the approach hey, I want to open this office here, so I need to have the money available to do so. A scenario is important as a leader to step in, or not step in, but to provide that guidance for your business. I think a lot of the times it's, hey, build sales and the revenue will follow, and then I can make all these choices to build up the business. And sometimes that works, but pretty rarely. And that's why those failure statistics are pretty high for businesses in the first 3 years, because it's really sorting out the ones who haven't figured that concept out.
Yeah. So this is something that we've been working on internally in our business, and also we've been starting to see really amazing success. I mean, just go back and listen to the last episode with Dylan Rothman of success coming from our team building coaching program. So of course you may or may not know, we have a coaching program to help people build their teams and systems for their businesses. And an interesting thing to me is watching this group make so much progress. And eventually we hit a point of like, okay, now I've got a handful of team members here. What next? You know, like how do I then take this to the next level up? And so as we've been seeing this happening and formulating our own methodologies, it's really getting to be a really exciting point where we're actually able to step in and show people how to achieve real true scale, right? So building out your team, like, okay, so how are you going to know when you can hire the next person? Who might that next person be? What role will they fill, and how will that propel your business higher? Then how will you handle all that additional income and orders and fulfillment and all of that? So how do you plan all of these things, and how do you do it without breaking your financial equation? But that's something that we've been working on and implementing internally. And this is like, I'm actually really proud and excited to put this is, I put together this material for John's course. This is the first time that we've ever put this whole system all in one out into the world. And so I'm just super, super excited to see the feedback and the results that come from it. So that's the announcement for today. So if you are in the program Dropship Breakthrough, please go through the modules, watch the content, tell me what you think, reach out to me. If you're not in the program, what are you doing? Go sign up. It's a great program. You know, I'm not just saying that. I'm not being paid to say that. I know a whole lot of people in the program who are getting massive value from it. So all right, guys. So thank you for being with us. We're going to get into this conversation between John and me right now. Thanks, Jason. We'll talk to you next week. And of course, as always, you can find links to everything we discuss in our show notes at nextlevelecommerce.co/87. Now, let's get into it. Please give a warm welcome back to John Warren.
I was reading the other day a book and some stuff by an author, and I think a quote that really hit home for me was from Stephen Pressfield, who's the author of a bunch of good books, but The War of Art and Do the Work are two of the ones that people in this group might know more of. And he said, the difference between an amateur and a professional is in their habits. An amateur has amateur habits and a professional has professional habits. And so for me, I think, you know, I think of this in a lot of the business sense, but of course habits are incredibly important, you know, for your personal life and just your life in general. But for me, I sort of started paying a lot of attention to the habits I already had in place when I really started down my business path. And beginning, you know, it was business was all kind of just as it is for many people, it's just a kind of a thing that, you know, you're rushing towards, you're trying to do all these things. You don't really know what you're doing. You know, you're just trying to make it all happen, and you're going this way, that way, the other way. And so, you know, like I was finding success with business, but it always felt like, I guess, a lot of struggle, right? I always used to find that I'd struggle with things like, and you know, working on the rings and distraction, procrastination, unhelpful, you know, thought processes going through my mind. So I remember we were having a chat the other day, and we talked about, you know, things like, you know, thoughts around, you know, like things like the imposter syndrome thoughts, right? But also, you know, thoughts that are very common amongst people in business about not being good enough or not being able, not really believing that they can succeed and all this sort of thing. And so I found I was struggling a lot with that sort of thing, and that I knew I had to change something because you know, I was making progress, but it wasn't quite, I didn't feel I was really heading in the right direction and making the progress at the rate that I wanted to. And I kind of just had a sense that it was not so much what I was doing was wrong. It was just that I was, you know, on my own progress in terms of the way I was operating and the things I was or wasn't doing. And so that, I'm talking probably going, this started probably about 3 years ago, really, for me. I started, turned my focus more away from, you know, what I was doing on my business to look more closely at how I was operating while I was working on my business, you know, and also some other things happening in my personal life and how I was dealing with those. And that's kind of what stumbled me, how I stumbled across the whole habit thing and started to really dig into that and then realized, well, hey, a lot of what's going on for me, both in my personal life and in my business experience, is happening because I either have a set of unhelpful habits that are a hindrance to me doing the things I want to do, or I need to develop some new habits so that I can be more consistent with the things I know I need to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So sort of, and that led me to learning a bit about how we actually form habits, because there's actually a process that you have to go through to build a habit, but and there's a converse side of that, which is breaking a habit. I guess where a lot of people struggle with habits is they, most of us know we need to have good habits, right? Or conversely, that you need to remove bad habits, you know, from your life, right? But people struggle with that, I think, because a lot of the time they don't really understand how to build a habit. Like somebody says, oh, like let's just using a classic example that always comes up for a lot of people at this time of year. Oh, it's the new year. I need to get fit and healthy, right? So like I need to have a habit, and there's a whole series of habits that surround that, right? Maybe you need a habit where you go and do some sort of physical activity. Maybe you need a habit where you buy the right food. Maybe you need a habit to prepare the right food. Maybe you need a habit around how much you eat. There's a whole series of habits. So people who are very successful in that space, they're not sure, maybe part of that has to do with genetics or whatever, but largely they're very successful because they have a series of strong habits they've developed. And so that gives them the sense that they're very disciplined, or gives other people the sense that they're very disciplined. So a lot of us see successful business people, for example, and think, wow, that you see what they do and you're like, man, they're super self-disciplined. They're so consistent. How do I develop that sort of self-discipline? Well, it's really just the result of them having the ability at some point over time of constructing a series of very strong habits. That's kind of the foundation to that sense of self-discipline. And it's because once you obviously develop a habit, everything becomes automatic around that. You don't have to think about it. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of how I got to it. And so in the last couple of years, I've put a lot of focus on identifying maybe things, weaknesses in myself or how I operate, weaknesses in my business practices that are driven by me, because, of course, your habits are relevant to what you do, and or maybe even opportunities that I can see, and thinking about, well, if I want to change that or if I want to build that, what are the actions that I need to take to do that? And then consciously saying, well, I'm going to build a habit around that. And then putting myself through the process consciously, not just hoping it will happen, putting myself through the habit loop, if you like, which is kind of what the process is called, to build that habit over the course of a couple of months. And so it's particularly as a business owner, building habits, it gets even more interesting when you really dig into the science behind it and why it's important. I mean, habits for humans are a large part of our evolutionary success, right? So I don't know, maybe I'm going down a bit of a tangent here, but so when you form a habit, it becomes an automatic and subconscious behavior, right? So, you know, there's been studies done which show that about 50% of our daily reported activities happen as a result of being a habit. So 50% of everything you do, at least, you don't even think about doing. You just do it.
Yeah.
It's because it's a habit. Now, that's important for us as humans, because when something becomes automatic and subconscious, you stop using your prefrontal cortex to think about it. Right?
Can I interrupt for a second and just give you an example? This happened to me a couple days ago. It looks like you froze. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yep. Okay. Just to illustrate what you're saying, this happened to me just a couple of days ago. I have a walk that I go on in the neighborhood every day, and it's a 30-minute loop. And I'm especially now, I'm getting ready to host this event. I'm like, got so much going on in my mind. And I got 3/4 of the way through, and I just suddenly like became aware of like, how did I get here? I don't remember walking that last quarter mile at all, but here I am.
Yep.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. And so we use our prefrontal cortex to make decisions, right? And that's, you know, your brain uses 20% of your body's oxygen for such a small little area of your body. So your brain is very efficient, but it also demands a lot of energy, right? And a lot of that goes to your prefrontal cortex when you're making decisions. When something becomes a habit and automatic, that behavior, it then moves, it's taken away from your prefrontal cortex and into a part of your brain called your basal ganglia, which is such a fantastic name. It sounds like an alien, right? That's also a part of your brain that deals with things like emotions, memory, sort of automatic things that you don't really have any control over, right? So as humans, we like to think we're in control of everything, but really most of what goes on in our brain, we have no control over it whatsoever. That part of our brain kind of drives us, and then we use logic to think that we've, you know, made those decisions. But really, once it gets into your basal ganglia, then it's kind of taken, it requires a significant amount less energy for that process to happen. And so what it means is that your prefrontal cortex is freed up to do other things, to make more decisions or to make better decisions. And so in the evolutionary sense, things becoming habit meant that we could process more in total through our brain. Yeah, so we could do more, become smarter, think of new things to do as an animal that other animals, you know, couldn't. That's, of course, as a species, is part of what led to our success. Now, as a business person particularly, right, you've really got to protect your decision-making power. The more decisions you have to make in a day, the lower the quality, overall quality of all of your decisions often becomes, particularly those that you make later in the day. And so this is part of the reason why, you know, people like Steve Jobs always wore the same clothes, right? They don't want to have to get up and make a decision every day about what clothes. They know that will actually reduce the power of further decisions they need to make, which are significantly more consequential maybe later in the day. So the more habits you have and the more things that you don't have to think about means that your brain can actually work better on the big things that you do have to think about and make decisions on as you go through your day. So that's a bit of a side note, I guess, but that's kind of the interesting bit of science, I think, for me around why habits are not just that they actually, I think they help you make progress and all that sort of stuff, but it really just protects your ability, you know, business entrepreneur, particularly if you're a smaller business, you've got to think of like so many different things, right? You've got to be thinking about you've got all these things going through your head. So the more you can remove out of there and make automatic and subconscious, so it still happens without you having to think about it, you just feel more at ease with everything else. You feel less stress, right? You feel less pressure in your head because you're having to think of less things, but the same amount of things are still happening. Do you know what I mean? You're still doing the same amount, or maybe you're even doing more. So I think I find that stuff hugely interesting But that's what I feel. So I feel that the more habits I build, the less things I have to think about. And, you know, particularly, you know, in business, that helps me. But also,
Jack says, "Hey, John, do you wear the same cool tie-dye shirt every day like Steve Jobs?"
Well, Jack, I do not. Unfortunately, that is a habit I have not built yet. So, Yeah. But also as well, I think having habits built into your personal life, because as an entrepreneur, particularly your personal life and your business stuff, they are closely linked in many ways, right? So I find that if I get obsessed, a bit obsessed and into what I'm doing in my business, sometimes things on the personal side can fall by the wayside if they're things I have to think about doing. Whereas if they're automatic, I'm more likely to keep doing them when I'm focused on other things, which I tend to get overly focused on. So, you know, things like making sure I'm taking, you know, a break in my day to go and do physical activity or, you know, whatever it might be. If you have a habit around doing that, it's far more likely to happen every single day and have the consistency you need to improve your health than if you don't have a habit built around that. And every day you've got to think, oh, am I going to go to the gym today? What time am I going to do that? Blah, blah, blah. These are all decisions that you're having to make, right? And so it's sapping your brain to have to do that. Whereas if you have a habit that says, at this time, on these days, I'm going to be in the gym for exactly this amount of time, and then I'm going to be out of there and I'm going to go and I'm going to do the next thing, right? If you practice that, then it just happens, and it's just so much easier. Everything becomes much easier.
Yeah. So I guess my question then is, how are you intentionally building habits? And do you think about them as like, this is the habit I want to be building now, and then next this one, or is it a little more organic?
So I try, for me personally, I tie, so there's two steps. There's the identification of the habit that you want to build or work on, and then there's actually putting in place the process to lock that habit in as an actual habit, right? And you've got to intentionally set that process, and this is where people get wrong with it, is that they say, yeah, I want to build that habit, and then they just kind of stumble their way into it without setting this kind of process, which I'll talk about in a second. But the identification for me, I tie, and this is why it's timely to speak about this in the context of this event, I sort of tie that to when I'm doing my reviews of my personal life, my business. So that I do one at the end, the start of the year, right? I look back at the year that's been and say, what did I do? What worked, what didn't work, you know, sort of have that bit of a pull down, but also looking at your performance, you know, if you do like a 90-day, a quarterly cycle of reviews and that sort of thing, you can do it there. But I'll look at what I did, what did work, what didn't work, and I'll say, well, why didn't that work? You know, or why wasn't I able to achieve that thing I wanted to? And often that will be because I didn't consistently do something, right? And so I will say, okay, I didn't consistently do that thing, and that's because I didn't do the work to actually lock it in as a habit, right? So for me, I'll use an example that I did some time ago now, a couple of years ago. So every day, and this is just a very basic and simple example, but it's a very powerful one. Every day I use a to-do list. Right. So I do a 5-item to-do list for every day, and I set that at the end of the day before. Right. So that when I get up, come in, do my work, I've got it right there. Boom. I just go and do it. Now, the reason I did that was because I struggled with a long time with focus and distraction. And it was because I would go into every day with no actual plan of what to do. And so I'd just start doing something, and then something else would pop up and I'd start doing that. And then I'd go back to that other thing, and I'd get to the end of the day and think, what? Did I actually get anything done, right? And I would feel like, yeah, I did some stuff, and then I think, but why didn't I do that really important thing I had to do? Yeah. Because I hadn't planned to do it. So on review, I realized that my problem was that I didn't have any sort of plan for my day, and I needed to do something to make that happen. Now, the tricky thing is about doing the to-do list that way is that it's not so much having the to-do list, it's remembering to do it the day before. Right? Because you also don't, for me anyway, I don't want to get into my day and the first thing I have to do is think about what's on my to-do list. Because that's once again, decision making. That's going to, in and of itself, could take me down rabbit holes and distract me from doing that task. So I want to have that set, but I have to make sure that I'm setting that to-do list the day before, at the end of the day, at the same time, more or less, before I do anything else, and so that I know it's there. And that's the habit. Right. So I had to get in the habit of writing a to-do list. Yeah. And so got in a habit. And initially when I tried, I just thought I needed a to-do list. And so the first day I thought about it, yeah, great, I did my to-do list. The next day I forgot.
Yeah.
Right. And then maybe the next day I did it. And then I forgot for a week and I did it again. And of course, so this is what happens when you think you need to do something, but you don't set it, you don't go through the steps to set it as a habit, is that you'll do it once or twice. And this is the problem with people in New Year's resolutions, right? This is why New Year's resolutions for me are terrible, because people think, oh yeah, I'm going to get in and go to the gym every day. And they do it for like a week, and then other shit happens and they stop doing it, right? They get distracted, yeah. And that's the end of it. So there's a process you got to go through. There's three things. So this is called the habit loop, right? So this is what you have to have these things in place for a habit to form. And conversely, if you want to break a habit, you have to disrupt one or multiple of these things. So every habit starts with a trigger, right? So a trigger can be an external environmental thing, or it can actually be an internal thing. Right. So, but it's a trigger. So something that happens that tells you it's time to take the action, which is the second part of the habit. So the action is the actual, what you think of as the habit, right? So you have to have a trigger, and then you take the action. And while you're trying to set a habit, you have to have a reward that comes immediately after you've taken the action. You reward yourself. And the reward is important in the habit setting phase because it reinforces the habit as a good experience in your brain, right? Because the reward ideally gives you a little pleasurable hit of dopamine, which was, or a pleasurable chemical in your brain, which tricks your brain into thinking it wants to keep doing the habit. And of course, this is why a lot of bad habits form for people, because, you know, there's pleasurable chemicals are released in their brain. You know, and that's a very powerful thing. So it's really hard to build a habit without those things, though. So you have to intentionally think about what those things are going to be. So if you're going to,
I'm going to interrupt for just a second, yeah, and give an example. So I read recently, and I don't remember where I read it. Speaking of habits, we all know of smoking is one of the most, you know, tobacco, nicotine, whatever you want to call it, cigarettes is one of the most addictive things that humans do. But I read recently that it's actually not the chemical addiction that is that makes it so powerful. It's the habit. And the trigger is often for a smoker, and I'm not, so I mean, I'm just repeating what I read, but it's often a stressful situation. Yep. You realize, oh, I need a smoke. And then that's the trigger. So then the action is the act of smoking. And then the reward is, you know, a timeout, a break. And that actually does reduce some stress. And so that's exactly trigger, action, reward. And so to break that habit is really difficult, because you've got to, it is actually rewarding.
Yep. I can give you that exact example. So I don't smoke anymore, right? Mm. But I started smoking when I was about 13. Cigarettes and other stuff. And I smoked right through until my early 30s. So I'm 38 right now, if anybody's wondering. And for me, part of how I broke that habit was that I identified the trigger for me smoking. And the trigger is different for everybody, it's important to say. So if you're a smoker out there who's looking to kick the habit, doing what I do isn't necessarily your thing. So, you know, you've really got to identify, and this can take some work to identify what your triggers are, because for a lot of people, triggers can be emotional or internal. They're not necessarily an external factor.
Right.
Right. And actually, in fact, probably the hardest habits to kick is because you've got a series of emotional things happening, which happen automatically without you thinking about it, that is triggering you to take whatever the action is that the habit is, right? Now, for me with smoking, I had formed the habit around smoking and drinking alcohol, right? Which I also used to do probably more than I should. So I didn't really used to find myself smoking much just during the day, like when I was at work or something. Like, I wasn't one of those people who had to run out every 10 minutes to have a smoke. But if you put me in the pub drinking beer I'd be like a madman smoking, right? I'd just be going crazy at it. So I identified, and so I used to drink a lot, which meant I used to smoke a lot, right? Now, the drinking as well was a habit, and that happened for other reasons. But for the smoking, I identified that the trigger was being in the presence and consuming alcohol. So to stop smoking, do you know what I did? And there was a couple of other things I did as well, but I actually removed myself from circumstances where I could drink alcohol completely. Mm. This was a big thing. I stopped seeing a whole bunch of people that I used to see, like friends, many of which are not my friends anymore, and that's a good thing for other reasons as well. But that stopped my smoking, right? I removed myself from those situations and I stopped consuming alcohol for long enough that that habit reduced. It became less powerful. And now, I mean, this is years later now, I can have a drink of alcohol and I don't feel like smoking. Mm. Right. So, yeah, that's exactly how it works. So the trigger is incredibly important. But if you're trying to, so if you want to break a habit, there's a few ways you can do this. And I've got to say, like, if your habit is actually an addiction and it's a serious one, like if you're, say, dependent on alcohol or something, this doesn't count. You need, like serious medical help for that. So, you know, I'm not a medical professional. But if you're trying to break a habit, often the way you do it is identifying the trigger and then addressing the trigger, not the behavior itself. If you remove the trigger, then you will actually find that the action happens with less and less frequency, and the less it happens, the weaker the habit becomes, and eventually, and it can take quite some time, it will go away, and you'll have relapses. When you're breaking a habit, you will have relapses, and you've got to accept that and recognize that, but that's how you do it. But setting a habit, you've got to set your trigger. So in the example that I used where setting the habit of writing a to-do list, my trigger was that at the same time, every day, in multiple ways, I would get a notification that would interrupt me and say, it's time to write your to-do list for tomorrow. Stop what you're doing, if you're doing something, and write a to-do list right now for the next 5 minutes. So I'd get a notification on my computers, all of my computers, my tablets, my phone. I get a buzz on my watch even that's on my wrist to trigger me to that now it's time to take the action. And for me, you then have a little reward, and a reward can be really small. So, for example, it's the nature of the reward's not important. It's just going to be something you find pleasurable. So a reward could be something as simple as if you're somebody who likes chocolate, eat a small piece of chocolate, because your brain will get that chemical release that will reinforce the habit. Now, once you've built the habit successfully and it's a strong habit, the reward is not as important. You can keep doing it, but you don't have to, right, because you've locked it in. But to set the habit, you need the reward. And so if you don't do any of those three things, if you don't set a trigger intentionally, if you don't take the action as soon as the trigger occurs, if you don't reward yourself afterwards, then you'll find it very difficult to build habits, even if you know you need to build them in the first place.
Yeah. So we've got a few comments here, and you just answered the question from Jack. But earlier we had comments from Jacob saying intentional process. Check. Yes. Focus. Important. And so Jack's question was, are these the three steps in setting a habit? Number one, define the habit. Two, trigger. Three, reward. Do they need to be in the right order?
Well, there's probably four. If you look at four, yes, you got to define the habit, set a trigger, take the action, then reward yourself. So if you add in the habit loop is trigger, action, reward, but you do need to define the habit you want to set, obviously, first. And I find it helps to write it down. And I think the difficult bit, I mean, it's easy to talk about all this stuff. Actually, the practice is a bit harder because for that first period of time where you're setting the habit, you've got to stick to that plan at whatever frequency it is that the habit needs to happen, whether it's a daily habit or maybe it has to happen every second day or something like that. For at least 4 weeks, you've got to do it. It takes at least 4 weeks for most people to form a habit. Some habits will take longer though. And so, yeah, you've really got to be focused. And I think, you know, it's kind of like, a little bit of visualization can help there as well, I think. So, I mean, you guys have probably talked about quite a bit about visualization in a grand sense.
Really? No, we haven't talked about it at all.
Oh, I thought that might have been part of it. But look, I find that it's easier to do something if you can see yourself doing it in advance, right? And it's the same with a habit, right? If you when you wanted to set a habit, I think if you stop and intentionally write it down, I'm going to do whatever the habit is every day for the next whatever time you need to do it for to set the habit, 2 months, and you're kind of making a commitment to yourself by writing that, like in your mind, but then actually think about doing it. Like go through a little visualization exercise. Think about yourself. Like if let's say I want to set a habit around going into the gym and working out. Well, I'm going to think about what's it going to be like when I walk into that gym every day. I'm going to think of myself walking through the doors, going through a workout. How am I going to feel afterwards? And how am I going to feel when I've been doing that for 6 months or a year or something? What am I going to look like? What's the outcome? So I think as well, it's very important to get focused on the outcome of building the habit as well, because that's the positive thing, right? The habit itself may be unenjoyable, but you're doing it to get an outcome. That's why we do, why we want to, if you're intentionally setting a habit, it's to get an outcome. So focus on the outcome. I think visualize the outcome, and that's going to make, you know, I find that it just helps to stick to taking the action after the trigger in the period that you're building the habit. And it's the same. Like, I mean, for me, if I think about, you know, what's all the business stuff that I do, there's a set of outcomes for me that are the reason why I'm doing that stuff. And so I write that down, that whole sort of vivid vision exercise and that sort of stuff. And I use that vision as a very regular visualization exercise. So I'll read through it and visualize, put myself in that situation where I have achieved those outcomes. And, you know, for me, that helps me to focus on what I need to do to, obviously, on a day-to-day basis to get there.
Awesome.
Same thing can work with setting a habit.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and I've got a question for you. How much time did you spend last week working on your business? If you're anything like most of us, the answer is not much, because you get caught up in the day-to-day. You wish you could find the time to focus on the things that move the needle, but instead you find yourself putting out fires. It's frustrating, isn't it? Well, there is hope. This episode of Next Level E-Commerce is brought to you by Summit E-Commerce Advisors. That's my company. So, what's the answer? It's to build a team to handle the day-to-day, freeing you up to work on your business. What if I told you there was a simple, repeatable process that consistently attracted top-tier A players, filtered out the rest, and you only talked with the very, very best? What if you could build a team that's on fire to do great work and grow your business? Well, that's exactly what we teach you how to do in our team building program. We guide you through this simple step-by-step process. So to find out how you can build your rockstar team and get out of the day-to-day, just go to nextlevelecommerce.co/teams to learn more. Again, that's nextlevelecommerce.co/teams. And now, back to the show. My next question is, how do you know which habits to set? And I'll just, to give you an idea of where I'm coming from, some habits are really hard. Like if you have to do a lot. Other habits, so like, have you read the book Atomic Habits by James Clear?
I have not, actually.
It's pretty good.
I have not read it though.
Yeah, one of the things that he talks about is, and maybe I'm getting it mixed up with, you know, I'm pretty sure he talks about this, is choosing the smallest possible habit. Yes. So like if your goal is to run a mile every day and you don't run at all right now, that's going to be really hard.
Running a mile. Yeah.
So he says,
Yep.
Maybe a habit should simply be
to putting on your shoes
on. Yep. Put your shoes on and walk outside. If you want to walk right back in, great. Do that and feel successful and reward yourself.
Yep. Reward yourself. Yep.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. So, and this is the other place where people, I guess, have difficulty forming habits is because they try to do too much too soon.
Right.
So either they try to form multiple habits at the same time. So I suggest if you want to get into building habits, just pick one habit at a time. You know, you can't have a list of 10 things. Go, I need to change 10 things in my life. I'm going to try and do all of that at the same time. It's too much, right? Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming. It's too much for your brain to process, along with all the other things you have to process, and so you're going to fail at that, at even forming one of those habits if you're trying to do 10 at once, generally speaking. So don't try and do multiple at once. Always focus on just one. And yes, start it as small as humanly possible, right? Start small. Now, with habits, what you can implement is like a compounding effect, mm-hmm. right? So in the example you used, sure, maybe you're going to start just putting your running shoes on every day, right? And do that until that becomes an automatic thing. Then you're going to add on top of that. You're going to change up the habit to now you've put your shoes on, you have to go outside and, I don't know, walk 100 yards, right? And then build on that and build on that. And so you can build on a habit over time. But, yeah, absolutely. If I say I want to be, a marathon runner, I'm not going to – and I'm not a runner. I'm not going to go out and make my habit running a marathon every day. Right, because it's just going to be too hard in the first place. I need to build my habit up to that if I want to have a running habit. So, yeah, absolutely, 100%, that's true. Don't make the habit too big and challenging, right? If it feels really scary when you're thinking about setting it, then it's too big, right? And sometimes this can be challenging, particularly for entrepreneurs, because we know having challenges is a great thing. Challenges are what get you up in the morning. They're what gets you excited. Yeah, I want to smash this challenge. That's great, but not for forming habits. mm-hmm. If it's really huge, then once again, it's going to be a lot less likely that when you get the trigger, you're going to take the action.
Yeah.
So, yeah, think of it as now it depends on the habit. So for me, writing a daily to-do list, that's already a very small thing, right? So that's not something you need to build up to. But if it's and this is very much a case-by-case basis and person-to-person basis. It's different for everybody. So I don't necessarily know that there's a great test that works for everybody to determine whether the habit you're thinking of is too big or small enough.
Well, I have a pretty good example of a habit that I set in the past year. Yeah. So I have always read and heard, over the years, you should schedule your day. You should schedule your time and actually show up and do that work when it's time. And I always thought, oh, that sounds so great. And for years, I've tried off and on. And so I would go through periods of, I would open up my calendar and schedule every minute for the week. And, that lasted a few days one time, and then it lasted maybe a couple of weeks another time, but it's exhausting to schedule out your time. And so I would give up every time. Mm-hmm. And what I did instead, and I started this, I think maybe in June of last year, is I decided, actually what's really important is that I schedule one solid block of time to focus on the one thing, my most important thing. And I do that in the morning before anything else. And so I started doing just that. And I would set Do Not Disturb on my phone and all the devices. And I'd just do that. Yeah. And over time, I thought, well, I can just put a little email. And then the second thing I thought was, well, I'm spending way too much time in my email. I don't think anyone would even notice if I just looked at my email twice a day. And so I put a time for email right after that 2-hour work session at 9 o'clock. So I put email at 11 o'clock. And then I put an email session in the afternoon And so I know it's okay. I can do anything else in this time and I won't check my email. So I did that. And so like piece by piece, I didn't even realize that I didn't consciously set out to start scheduling all of my time, but just over time, that's what happened. And now it's just a habit. It's easy for me to schedule my entire week out. Sure, I make adjustments, but that's just what ended up happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And another cool thing about habits as well is that you can stack habits, right? So you call this habit stacking, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a
buzzword. He talks about that in the Atomic Habits.
Yeah, so and that's where you can use a habit that you've already built as the trigger for another habit. So you do one habit after another, and then when you lock that one in, you can then use that one as a trigger for the next habit. So you think of it like an if-then sort of statement. If I do this, then I do that. Right. And so a habit can trigger another habit. And so that's also another way that you can build up a set of things over time, which starts with one smaller thing, but over time builds up into this thing where you're just going through a series of basically automatic processes without thinking about it. And, you know, the result of that is you just get more done consistently. And, you know, I'm a big fan of saying, like, if you want to be the people who are most successful at whatever their desired thing is, generally one of their qualities that they all have is consistency. And, you know, I coach a lot of business owners, and the ones that are the most consistent tend to be the ones making the most money, you know, and the ones who lack consistency are the ones that are constantly asking me, why aren't I making any money? Why isn't this working? And I have to say to them, it's because you're not consistent enough in applying what you know you need to do. And so, you know, habit is a massive part of developing consistency.
Yeah. A good example of habit stacking is everybody has habits in the morning, right? We get up, we take a shower, we brush teeth, we make breakfast, all of this stuff. And so like if there's something, maybe you want to start drinking a shake of some kind, protein shake or whatever. And you're like, well, I always forget in the middle of the day. Well, maybe, you know, if you squeeze that into the morning and it just becomes part of that habit sequence, that's a way to do it.
Yep. Yep, definitely. Yep.
Awesome. Guys, if you have any questions, any comments, go ahead and put them in the chat here. We've got Jack saying 4 steps of the example of training a dog. 1, habit, dog stops barking. 2, trigger, click the clicker. 3, action, dog pays attention and gets quiet. 4, reward, enjoys a yummy treat. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just associative behavior, right? That's the trigger action thing. It's like Pavlov's dog, whatever. It's that's where it comes from. It's that associative behavior thing. It's your brain associating one thing with another, and that's the power of the trigger.
Awesome. Sure. So what habits are you working on now? Do you have any new habits that you're trying to build?
I do. So for me, I got out of the habit of, so I used to do for one of my businesses anyway, so a business habit, sorry, that I'm trying to get back into is I used to do a lot of and enjoy sending regular emails to, you know, some of my email lists. And at some point last year, I just got out of doing that. Like it fell away. And so I missed doing that. And obviously, there's also business outcomes that could be related to that as well. And so I identified that when I looked at what I was doing last year, at the end of the year, start of this year, I looked back and I saw, well, you know, I can actually identify that I dropped off doing something and certain results dropped away as well. Right. And so I know now for this year, one of the things I want to do is to get back into a regular sequence of sending, you know, writing and producing. And so one of the things I love doing, I mean, I personally, yes, I could outsource that, but I love doing it. So it's one of the things I want to do. It's not incredibly time consuming for me. And so I need to get myself into the habit again of doing that at a regular interval, whether it's daily or every second day or whatever. I need to get back into the habit of that. So I need to set a trigger that now it's time for me to get in, either resend an old email with some updates or write a new one. And then that's going to be the habit on the business sense that I want to set. So that's an example of one of the ones I want to do it from a business perspective. And yeah, I have some personal ones as well, just around, for me, it's around, I think the main one that I'm trying to do there, and I'm still actually trying to work out the mechanics of this one. So that I need to set some better habits around sleep for me. Yeah. Which for personal health and mental well-being and all of that is, you know, for I believe one of the most important things. And I've got a bit sloppy with sleep habits or lack of, once again, through the end of last year. And I've recognized that what that does to me. So I know I need to institute some a habit around that. Well, it's probably actually going to be a series of habits, right? Because that's a pretty big thing. It's a pretty complex thing in some ways. So once again, if I look at that and say, I one of my weaknesses is, so this is why I say you can use habits to address weaknesses. If you identify a weakness in what you're doing, then there's going to be a series of habits that if you can build them, will turn that weakness into a strength, right? And so you need to look at it. And sometimes when it's a bigger thing, you need to sit down and really, you know, you've got to dig into your head. You've got to dig into what's happening in the physical sense and say, all right, what's the series of things that need to happen or not happen for me to be able to make sure I'm in bed at 10 o'clock every night, for example, right? Mm. Now, that one's going to be a little bit more complex than just saying maybe I need to set an alarm to tell me to go to bed.
Yeah, because I ignore that alarm.
So there's going to be other things happening that are triggering me not to do that are encouraging me that I don't want to do that. So it's actually going to be better if I can address those things so that when it's time to go to jump into bed at 10 p.m., let's say, I actually feel like I can do that because I don't have other things going on that are telling me, no, you need to stay up later to do this, that, and the other, right? Which is kind of what I had fallen into. So That's probably my big personal thing that I'm looking to set some habits around at the moment.
Awesome. I'll tell you guys, so I've been going through this process. Actually, I said I was going to go through the same process of planning. You guys are all at the same time, but to be honest, hosting an event and doing that is too much. I'm going to do that next week. But I have thought a little bit about it. And one of the habits that I want to create is it's become increasingly clear to me that whether it's business or anything else, the power of having a strong network and strong relationships is really important. And so to me, you know, I'm looking for the lead domino. I don't know if that you think about that. That was in the book, The One Thing. Look for the first habit that will, you know, knock down the next bigger habit. And so like if you want to have stronger relationships, you know, that lead to all kinds of cool things, whether it's just a good friendship or maybe a collaboration to build relationships. So I've kind of been thinking, well, an easy habit would be to message one person a day. Just say, hey, how are you doing? Simple, easy habit. And, you know, that alone can be the lead domino that leads to a running partner or, you know, whatever.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. I mean, your habit can't be, I'm going to build better or more relationships.
Right.
That's not a habit. That's a whole series of habits that have to come together to progressively build that up over time. So, yeah, you've really got to break that down and say, well, what's involved in building better or more or stronger relationships? There's going to be a number of things. Yeah, so you've got to, in the first place, communicate with another person to build a relationship with that person. So that's your first step. And it may be then that you have to have some subsequent habits that attach onto that to either build more relationships or to take existing relationships to different levels. So, yeah, that's a great example. And that's starting with that, once again, that incredibly simple first step. Just message one person a day. It's going to take you a few minutes. You know, it's fairly hard to fail at that if you've got a trigger set.
Yeah.
If you've got a trigger to do it set, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have a trigger set, you probably will forget to do it.
Yeah.
In amongst the mass of other things that you have to do. But if you've got a trigger set, you know, that's a very, very achievable habit to build. And once you feel comfortable with that, then you can extend that. Maybe message two people a day or add something else onto it. And a lot of people, like, you know, I think say, well, if I just build small habits, you know, it's going to take me forever to get anything big done. But it, like habits, they compound on, the effect of them compounds if you gradually increase them. So if you build a habit by 1% every day at the end of 12 months, you know, it's going to be actually significantly more impactful than it might have felt at the beginning. And if you look at that over the course of, say, 3 to 10 years, it's going to be absolutely gigantic in its effect.
Yeah.
Right? So never be scared to start small, I think.
Yeah. And we've got to wrap up here, but there are a couple good points, and there's one question in the chat that I want to get to. But I want to say, on that topic of networking, this has come up in our talks and in the conversation so far. And also just I've noticed recently that people want to have masterminds. They might be looking for partners. That was a big one we talked about the other day. People are looking for partners. Well, if you don't really know anybody and you want a partner now, it's kind of too late, right? You should have been building relationships over the last 3 years, and by now maybe there will be somebody in your network who is somebody you want to partner with. And so thinking about these things, especially these small things that compound, you know, the earlier you get started on them, the better. So question here from Jack says, yeah, I'd like to set a new habit of going to bed early too. What are some smaller habits to conquer first, like stop eating at 8 p.m. first? That's a good one. Yeah. I'll just tell you from my experience, just in my life, that is one of the things that I want to do. And the reason I stay up late is because I want some time to relax. And my daughter is going to bed. You know, like I want some time after she goes to bed. And maybe I'm just working too hard during the day. So I think for me personally, if I have some time out earlier in the day, you know, that might be a pressure release valve so that I don't need to have so much time in the evening to relax. Or, you know, maybe the habit is make sure my daughter gets to bed on her bedtime and she's not staying up late eating into my relaxation time. So there's a few things. Again, that's just for me. I don't know. What do you think, John?
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's even for us people who are trying to build the same habit, working on that bigger thing, like, you know, the sleep thing, the individual little habits you need to build or maybe bad habits you need to break are, you know, going to be different for everyone. But I see Mariam actually had put a list in there as a comment as well of a range of things habits you might build to enable you to, you know, get to sleep at a particular time. So those are all, you know, good examples. You know, the one that Jack listed, you know, like stop eating at 8 p.m. Well, you could probably argue that eating after 8 p.m., if that's the thing you want to stop and you find yourself regularly doing that, you've actually got a habit formed around eating after 8 p.m. and you actually need to break that. So that's a habit you need to break. So then you have to think about, well, why am I eating after 8 p.m.? Right? If I've already had dinner and I'm satisfied by that at an earlier point, why am I coming back to eat again? Now, that, once again, there could be all sorts of triggers for that. It might be boredom. It might be some other emotional state that's been, like, people, you know, food habits are often, for a lot of people, driven very much by emotional states and emotions that they're experiencing. And that's the trigger. And so it might be that if you need to stop eating after 8 p.m., you need to identify why are you eating after 8 p.m. and, you know, remove that trigger. Right, so that you're not eating after 8 p.m. So that may not be a habit you need to build. Sometimes it's actually in achieving an outcome, which is the sleep. The sleep is the outcome. To get there, sometimes you not only need to build some habits, but you actually need to break some habits. So once again, don't try and build a habit and break a related habit at the same time. That's hard. Focus probably on breaking the habit first, right? So, you know, if you identify a series of habits you want to institute to enable you to get to sleep at a set time with quality sleep, and you can see there's some unhelpful habits in there. Ah, there you go, Jack. You're answering the questions as we go. Yeah, right. So you can see your triggers there. There's some triggers there for why you might be eating late. Well, you know, that's what you got to work on, removing those things first. And once again, they may be happening because of habit as well. So, yeah. You know, this can be a pretty deep process for some things. If you really start digging into yourself, and remember, you've got to look internally as well, because habits are not, most people think of habits as things that we do externally. Like, so I eat or I overeat, like an external thing that you're doing. But habits as well can be mental. They can happen in your head. So for a lot of people who have, you know, limiting thoughts, like I'm not good enough. I'm trying to achieve this outcome, but I'm not good enough, you know. That thought process is often a habit that's triggered by something. So if you want to change that thinking or that mindset, often you need to work back to is there something that happens on a day-to-day basis that actually triggers that thought in my mind? And can I cut that trigger? Can I address that trigger, which can stop you from having that thought, which then has a cascading effect to affecting other things that you do?
Awesome. I think that's a great place to wrap up. John, thanks so much for joining us. I really do appreciate your time. This has been awesome to have you. I always have a great time when we chat. So if people want to find out more about you, I think we've got some of your members of your group here in the community here. Where can they find out what you're doing and learn more?
Yeah, look, I mean, absolutely. You know, I'm in this group. You can, well, if you want to connect directly with me, absolutely, feel free. You can find me in the group, John Warren. Shoot me a message. You know, always love to connect with people. But you can go to johnwarren.me from my personal website, or if you're interested in my e-commerce marketing stuff, it's buildsellgrowrepeat.com. You can go there to find out more about that. That's probably the two best ways. Otherwise, you know, find me on Facebook.
I'm putting those
chat. Say hi, you know?
Yeah. I put those links in the chat. Thanks. For anybody who wants to check them out. Go ahead, head on over. Like I said, John is my go-to e-commerce marketing guy. He really has a lot of great stuff. A lot of great ways he can help out. He's got a free community as well. So, yeah. Chat him up, folks. All right. Thanks, awesome. John. And we'll talk with you soon.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. And thanks, everyone, for checking it out.
Thank you, listener, for being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on your podcast app. And if you've already done that, share the love and tell a friend about this show. It really does help. And I want to mention one more time, if you want to get out of the day-to-day and start working on your business regularly, you need to build a team. And if you've built a team that's just, kind of okay, you need to build a better team. And we'll show you exactly how to do this in our team building program. Just go to nextlevelecommerce.co/teams to find out how we can help you build a rockstar team. Again, that's nextlevelecommerce.co/teams. Well, that's all for now. Have yourself a great week, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Next Level Ecommerce. Be sure to subscribe so you won't miss out on the next story.